Welcome back to Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's your host, Patrick Creighton.
Straight Heat, SB Nation Radio, and joining us right now, not on the phone, but actually in studio, the great Glenn Davis, ESPN, covered the World Cup for Fox Sports, also with ESPN Houston. Glenn, welcome to the program. How you doing?
Man, it's nice being in here. I never even knew this whole wall was full of monitors. You know, here I am in the same building, and I've never been in here. So thanks for having me in.
And today the air conditioning works in here. So
that's always a plus. Yeah.
Not too shabby. First thing first, you know, for everything that you know about Russia, the four people who decided they were going to bust onto the field of the World Cup finals.
Yes.
They get 15 days in jail. They are not basically sentenced to life in Siberia. So, win for them?
I hope it's a win for them. Yeah, it wasn't a win for Croatia because they were in a great position to counterattack at the time that they ran on the field. Unfortunate for them. They were really in a great attacking posture. I think people have bypassed that when they ran on the field. I think we were all shocked when we were looking at our television.
Of all the games for it to happen, yeah. Somehow that's the game.
Well, and they picked a moment that killed off a Croatian counterattack as well. So, you know, Croatia can't be happy about that band.
So you think that was the Russians, we're going to get the Croatians back at the right time. Run on the field. Yeah. let's plant the seeds of conspiracy already. Yeah. But France wins their second World Cup, and, you know, it was a game. The great thing about the World Cup to me is you don't have to be a big soccer fan to get involved in the World Cup. And you get to see the greatest players in the world on their national teams. There's always more of a sense of pride in playing for your national team. It's not like you're watching a regular league game where one team might be stacked and the other team might be, man, not so much. You always got the best of everyone. It was a tournament where, you know, I got to watch World Cup soccer with my 13-year-old son, who could give two flying rat's tails about spot soccer, and my daughter, who's 11, who plays soccer, loves soccer, thought this was great. We got to watch soccer. So I got my daughter in front of the games. I got my son, who could care less about team sports in general. He's into all individual stuff, into watching the games. When you see what the impact of this cup was, do you think it will have an impact going forward?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think what we have to remember about the World Cup is it's a 5-week tournament, right? And there's consequence on every game, literally, except maybe your final game in the group phase, right? If you know you've advanced. But there's consequence. That's what makes it exciting. The nationalistic side of it makes it exciting. The entire country of Belgium came out, and they didn't even win the World Cup. They ended up the third-place team in it. I mean, the scenes in Belgium today were unbelievable at this parade they had for them. Obviously, what Croatia did, incredibly prideful for a country that had to go through a civil war. A billion people watched this. I mean, I just hope as fans of sports in this country, we come to reality with what the magnitude of this event really is and how it does carry over into the future. So you have a lot of people, as you mentioned, saying that this may be one of, if not the greatest World Cup ever. Of course, the FIFA president is going to say that because he wants to be associated with it. But it was 2.6 goals a game. You had 30 goals after the 80th minute in the group stages. You had the host nation come out, who nobody thought was going to get out of their group and score 4 or 5 goals against Saudi Arabia to kick it off in style. They made a deep run in it. They kept their country involved in it. You know, there's storylines beyond belief. You had giants getting slayed early, like Germany by Mexico. You had, you name it, you had it. You had upstart nations doing things. You had a team like Panama, who was getting beat 6-0 by England, and they score a goal, and their entire country goes nuts because they scored a goal at the World Cup that will forever be remembered by Felipe Baloy. So for drama, for excitement, you had a final, two very distinctively different styles of play. You had France winning a second World Cup. Croatia was going for their first. You had the coach become a guy that is amongst only 3 in the world now that have won the World Cup as a player and a manager, which, I mean, can you imagine what rarefied air that is?
3 of them. That's it.
Yeah.
Just 3.
Mario Zagallo of Brazil, Franz Beckenbauer of Germany, who, by the way, nobody was seeing at the World Cup because of the whole FIFA scandal. And then now Didier Deschamps of France.
It's not a bad – it's never a bad thing if you're talking about greatness and very few people in the group and somehow you're in it.
That's why the World Cup's great, and that's why I'm a little bit in fear that they're, you know, by going to 48 teams now, you're going to mess with the sanctity of it, the uniqueness of it. It's every 4 years. You have to be patient. Nobody's ever going to forget that a 19-year-old Kylian Mbappe scored in a World Cup final, and he now is now – in rarefied air, because the only other teenager to ever score in a World Cup final was the great Pelé as a 17-year-old in 1958. So, you know, remarkable things happen at this World Cup. People get identified, their careers change. To me, it's just some of the most amazing drama. And I mean, and it's live and it's real drama. It's real human emotion.
That was probably the second best goal in Pelé's career, the first one being the one that he hits the bicycle kick against the Germans.
We only had 1,000, Patrick.
Against the Germans in a prison camp to help Sylvester Stallone escape.
That was a great movie. Yeah, when Sly Stallone was playing in goal, he really represented America well as a goalkeeper. Couldn't even catch.
Glenn Davis with us, ESPN, Fox Sports, ESPN Houston, in studio with us. Glenn, of course, former players, covered a lot of events, covered the World Cup for Fox Sports. And, you know, like, let's just get into these final teams, because, you know, as you watch the final, it seemed like Croatia had possession of the ball two-thirds of the game.
Yeah, they did.
It's like they always had possession
of the
ball.
Possession. But France didn't want the ball. They wanted it at select moments. They wanted it at the right moments. And to be fair, France set their team up. They won this World Cup first and foremost based on great collective defending and protection of their goalkeeper, who then came up with the timely saves. But they were absolutely ruthless, ruthless on the counterattack, and ruthless with the timing of their goals through, you know, the likes of Mbappe, Pogba, Griezmann, Giroud banging away up front. They were set up in a way to win this tournament. I mean, you have to give it to Deschamps. It doesn't mean you have to like that style of play. But in the end, they had more shots on goal, and they took their chances, and that's the game they wanted to play.
No, and that counterattacking style, you watch Belgium and England, and Belgium was constantly on the counterattack. There were at least three or four times that I can remember off the top of my head where, and it was the same player. It was the same guy on the Belgian team. Now, I couldn't tell you what his name is.
Eden Hazard.
You already know. You already know. Who would somebody would try to get the ball past him. He'd steal the ball, and then he's leading the counterattack, and they're going the other way. It was always the same side of the field and the same guy. It's like they didn't learn. Like, stop going to that guy. And he was great, and they kept getting that counterattack, and it seemed like, you know, England had so many great opportunities. It was like when they had the opportunity where the goalie was out of position and the defender slid across the goal mouth to kick the ball away, it was like, they're not going to score.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I mean, look, these were great semifinals. I think the truth was told in the end. I mean, Belgium ended up in third place. Belgium was very disappointed after losing to France. Many called that you know, the World Cup final when France played Belgium. Players that know each other extremely well. I mean, you're talking about a guy leading the counterattack who's like a point guard in basketball, if we wanted to relate it to American sports, that not only has pace, he has change of direction, he's got an incredible skill set that's impeccable from top to bottom, and he's a decision maker. So when you're flying at speed, and you've got backpedaling defenders, and you've got players getting in front of the ball to be targets for you, that's the type of guy you want on the ball. And that guy, Eden Hazard, has all those abilities. And he may end up being picked up by Real Madrid, but unbelievable.
It's funny you referenced the basketball thing, because this is how many people considered France and Belgium, you know, the real final. That was the Western Conference Finals. That person was going to win. Who's the sacrificial lamb coming the other direction? Now, that being said, how are these teams set up for, you know, to go forward? Are these four teams that made the, you know, the final four in the cup, are they all teams that have a legitimate chance to just, let's just say, be in the final eight going forward? Or is one of them, you know, one of them dealing with, you know, some older players who may not be available?
Talking about the next World Cup?
Yeah. Do some have older players that won't be available? Do some have, you know, younger players who are, they're going to be able to build around, like France with Mbappe there as a young player that they're going to be able to build around? You know, some of these teams that, you know, are in turmoil with, you know, their coaches are changing. How do those four teams shape up going forward?
All right, so let's talk about France. Coming into the tournament, the biggest question I had about France was, are they mature enough? Because they are such a young team. They were the second youngest team in the World Cup. So they're set up great for the future. In fact, they're already thinking right now of the Euros in 2 years, which is basically a World Cup for Europe. And Deschamps is going to stay on as a manager, which is great because he obviously got them to buy in. I was totally, totally enthralled with the managers, Roberto Martinez of Belgium, Deschamps of France, Southgate of England, and Zlatko Dalic of Croatia. I thought these guys were amazing because, look, we're not in locker rooms, but when you see teams on a field, you can tell through the eye test if those players are buying into what a manager wants to do. And he got guys, they got guys to buy into doing things differently, and maybe not the most glamorous things, but you can do that over a five-week tournament because it is short, and you can do the sell job of, do you want to be a World Cup winner or not? And if so, here's what we have to do as a group. So they got buy-in. And by the way, the French coach, Deschamps, left out four or five guys that people were shaking their heads. How come he's not taking these guys to the World Cup? If they didn't win it, the knives would have been out consistently if they had not won the World Cup final. So credit to him for making what he must have thought were incredibly tough decisions.
Now, sometimes it's not about, do I have the guy with the most talent? Do I have the right guy? Because maybe that guy with the most talent, maybe that guy's not coachable. Maybe I can't get him to play in my system. Maybe he's going to go in the locker room, bitch and gripe and cause problems instead of be the leader that I need him to be.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't even need to comment on it. You said it perfectly.
So France is in great shape.
France is
going
in good
forward.
Shape. I think England is in great shape because they've had an under-20 World Cup winner. They've had an under-17 World Cup winner. They had the under-20 wins, 21s win. They have a lot of talent coming through that was not on this team, yet this is a very young team. The best advertisement you could have had for the English Premier League was England advancing deep in this tournament, as if it needs any, but because these are English players that are performing in England, and they all played, the entire roster plays in England. So England going forward is good with Southgate, I think. I don't think there's any question. They're going to improve, but so is everybody else. Germany and Italy, they're coming back with a vengeance, trust me. Brazil's going to be incredibly disappointed. Let's see. Belgium has a few older ones. They're going to say this was their golden generation and this really was their time. They'll still have some wonderful players to build around, but they're going to have to rebud their team a little bit. And Croatia, a little bit older in some cases. You're not going to see Modric likely back again, or if you do, in a very differing role. By the way, that's a guy who played 72 games. You know, imagine that, and he's at a World Cup. And, you know, he's on the biggest team in the world, Real Madrid, that just won the Champions League. And, you know, they start up in another 3 weeks. So
in 3 weeks.
It's nuts.
Now, for people who are, you know, just getting in, we got about a minute or so, yep. People who are, you know, really got into soccer because of this World Cup and started following, you know, different individual players and whatnot, what are the leagues for people to follow around the world where you see a lot of these players?
Yeah, well, it's obviously Europe, so it's the English Premier League. It's La Liga in Spain. It's the Bundesliga in Germany. French League One, obviously, is another one. And but there are great leagues all over the world that with differing and with stars and future stars. I like watching sometimes the leagues and games and matches that have somebody that potentially is going to break through and end up moving forward. The U.S. has got a lot of good young players now that are going to really get their opportunity with the national team since we didn't qualify for the World Cup. So you'll start learning about them, I would think, very heavily here in the next year.
Glenn Davis, he's the host of Soccer Matters, ESPN Houston, also covered the World Cup for Fox. He's also covered soccer for ESPN. Follow him on Twitter at Glenn Davis SOC, Glenn Davis SOC, Glenn with two N's, get that right. Glenn, appreciate it. Thank you for taking some time with us here in the studio today. Always great info. You know, nobody knows it better than Glenn Davis does. So appreciate you having time to
lots of
the
us
show.
Have an opinion. So those are very kind words. Lots of us have an opinion. But, Patrick, you're a gentleman, and thanks for having me on.
No, you're very welcome, Glenn. Thank you very much. Glenn Davis, ESPN, ESPN Houston, Fox Sports, covering the World Cup with us here in studio. Coming up next, the most famous hoop daddy with some stand-up comedy. Straight Heat.